This podcast has been certified spooky by Alternate Reality. Alternate Reality is the trusted name in Halloween-themed podcast, and if it doesn't say certified spooky, then it's not an Alternate Reality podcast. Look for the certified spooky seal on all episode art and the certified spooky message at the beginning of each episode. Thank you.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 401, Comic Reviews.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
A jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we're here to talk about comics and all the things going on in and around the world of comics. News, reviews, previews, whatever our heart is feels like doing that particular week. That's what we'll do. We mostly read comic books and talk about it. Occasionally we'll watch a movie and talk about it, or a Netflix show, or maybe we'll have a new toy that come out and said, oh, I got this, did you see this, and talk about it, whatever, just whatever we feel like talking about it. It's just talk. It's coffee talk. And so we're here,
coffee with talk,
but we like to talk about comics. Comic is sort of our passion, our hobby, and so we're doing that. And so we've been doing this podcast thing for a number of years, on and off. Started in 2006 and had just finished 400 episodes as of our last episode. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to that, you need to go back in the show feed and check it out. That was a lot of fun. We had a party all the time here at Alternate Reality. But the fun never stops and we go forward. So here we are at episode 401, and we've got a new development that we want to make you aware of. And that new development is that Alternate Reality is now involved or uses or participates in the Patreon service. So let me explain that real quick. I don't want to get too in the weeds here because we got a show to do. But the Patreon is your way to help us here at Alternate Reality. Okay? So if you've always said, man, those guys do a really good show, I like what they do, and I'd be interested in helping them keep the lights on. I know it must cost something, right? It costs something for computers and equipment. It costs something for electricity. It costs something for bandwidth and hosting of the show. All that stuff costs a little something. Yeah, it does. It costs, it does. It's not outrageous, but it does cost a little something. And if you want to help with what we do here and make sure we continue to do it, then you can give to Alternate Reality if you so desire, and you can become a Patreon member. If you decide to do that, then Patreon will set you up a payment plan. And right now there are three tiers, and this may change in the future, but right now there are three tiers that you can join up. You can be our $3 tier, comic book member, which is about the price of a comic book. You could be our $5, like oversized, giant size, special issue member, that's not $5, it's $10, excuse me, $10. $10 oversized, giant size, member. Or you can be like our $20 trade paperback hardcover member, okay? Now, I realize that trade paperbacks and hardcovers don't actually cost $20, or the oversized special anniversary issues don't always cost $10, but we just kind of wanted to create a progression so you could see comic, oversized issue, trade paperback. And so the idea is that you can join the $3 member fee, you can join the $10 membership fee, or you can join the $20 membership fee. So what happens is when you join one of those tiers, then you sign up to pledge that money is you're going to send to Alternate Reality each and every month. And once you put in your payment information, your credit card or whatever, then it sets up an automatic billing cycle. And every month it just rebills your card or your PayPal or whatever you sign up. And the money comes to us here at Alternate Reality, and we can continue to do what we do. So for that, if you're willing to do that, we want to give something back to you. And so that's why, you know, with Patreon, that gives us the opportunity to reward our Patreon members. And so if you go to the Patreon website, which is patreon.com/alternate reality, you can see what each tier is and what the rewards are that come with it. And we'll be adding things to that as we go. So at some point, we may give away free swag, free comics, free trades. At some point, we may do special content that only our Patreon members can see. There are some benefits to being a Patreon member outside of just giving money to the show, which at the end of the day is why you do it, but you may decide that you feel like you deserve something for that, and we do too. So we want to give something back to you. So go to the Patreon site, patreon.com/alternate reality, and just look at the page and look at the tiers and watch the intro video and get a feel for how the whole thing works. And we hope that you choose to support us and become a Patreon member. If you don't, Alternate Reality still comes out free every time we put out an episode, and it's always going to be right here. No hard feelings. But if you want to support us, that would be really cool if you want to do that. Go over to patreon.com/alternate reality. We're really excited about that. We do need some things around here. I need a new computer desperately bad. We need some like microphone stands and different things. I would like to upgrade and do some stuff around here, but we would need some money to do that. So, you know, think about it and see if your heart desires, go over and become a member, and that would be really, really cool. All right. So we've got a good show lined up for you today. Anything you want to announce, Charlie? Anything going on in your life?
Nope.
Nothing ever happens in Charlie's life. All right.
I didn't win the lottery. I know that.
Did you play?
Yes.
I didn't. I thought about it. I was like, I'm not going to win that, so I didn't do it.
Well, if you don't win, you're not
going to. You can't play. If you don't play, you can't win, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Neither that nor the Powerball did I win.
Yeah. So we're still broke, which is why you need to be a Patreon member. Because if Charlie had won, you know, the lottery, we wouldn't even had Patreon. We wouldn't have needed it. We just would have paid for everything ourselves.
And we wouldn't be needing no jobs, never, neither.
All right. So let's get into today's show. Enough talk about business. Let's get into the show and talk about comics. We'll be back in just a moment. Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. You guys sit tight.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust your picture. We are controlling the transmission.
What's that, boy? We're in control? Hey, look! I can see my voice! Blip, 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 blip. This is my voice. On TV!
Dad, you're ruining the mood!
Sorry.
For the next half hour, we will control what you see and hear. You are about to experience the terror and foul horror of The Simpsons Halloween Special.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to hear from you, if you would please. Send us your email or your voicemails, recorded messages that you have emailed to us. That's what I'm calling a voicemail because we don't actually have a voicemail number that you call. But send us an email or a recorded audio message to the email at alternatereality podcast@gmail.com. That is our email address. We want to hear from you because we will then respond to your message on the air. So that's a really cool thing to do. So email us, please, Alternate Reality Podcast, all together, all one word, no dots, periods, spaces, or hyphens, or anything like that. alternatereality podcast@gmail.com. All right, Charlie, let's talk about comic books.
Well, wait, I'm happy this week, right?
Oh, you're happy? Why are you happy?
We get to hear Chris's email at the end of this, right?
Oh, well, okay, wait, let me check the email. Oh, wait, we didn't get one.
He didn't fix it.
So, pardon, I am officially calling you out. You promised us the voicemail. You didn't deliver. That sucks. Breach of promise and all that. So get on it, Parton. We want to hear from you.
Now we will sue.
Yes, we will.
Sue.
All right. Comics. Charlie, you want to talk about your first selection of the week is what?
The Terrifics, number 9.
So you've been reading this.
And one of these sparkly.
Oh, you got another one of the chrome cover thing? Yeah. Okay, cool. Foil cover, not chrome.
Foil embossed.
Yeah. And chrome covers were from the 90s. Those were hella cool. So not so much now, though. I mean, they're still cool, but nobody does them anymore.
Well, that's not true. I think Quantum and Woody did like their all variant cover. It was chrome. It glowed in the dark. It was cardstock. It was all this all this crap.
Cool. All the variant cover tropes from the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Prismatic.
Oh, really?
It was everything.
All right, so Terrifics number 9. You've been reading this book all the way through.
Yes.
You've stayed on it much longer than I thought you might. So
why?
I'm just saying, a lot of times...
It's the Fantastic Four of the DC Universe.
Well, I understand the hook, but you know, a lot of times these new series, they try out like this fizzle, and they go so many issues, and everybody loses interest, and they get canceled.
Well, it kind of depends on the writer, I would say.
So you're still enjoying it.
Yeah.
And so it's still going strong for you, at least. I don't know how it's doing as far as sales-wise, but what are you liking about this, or why was this issue good?
Well, the characters have been fighting this Dr. Doom guy. This guy who looks like Dr. Doom.
Right. He looks uncannily like Dr. Doom.
And his name is Dr. Dredd.
How convenient!
And... during the last issue, they hit this multiverse thing where they got mixed up into these multiverses, right?
Right.
They went into them.
Yep.
But Mr. Terrific and Tom Strong, they ended up back in Gotham talking to Swamp Thing. I think Plastic Man got sent to a cartoony world with Tom Strong's robot butler Newman and his gorilla
and his
gorilla friend, and they meet the animated versions of Tom Strong and Dr. Dredd in that universe, and Delua Strong and Rex, who's not Metamorpho because he's lost his powers.
Oh, okay.
And the Phantom Girl, they end up in this like world that's like the Aztec empire is now like technologized.
It's modernized.
Yes, it's like from like it's like the Aztec Empire, but it's like today.
Right.
If they had like went with
if they had prospered as a society and went forward.
So that's what
they got: flushable toilets. They got ATM machines.
Well, they're flying around and stuff.
Oh, they're even more advanced than regular people.
Okay. They're awesome. But they start to fight like the Dr. Dredd characters there, and they start to fight them on each and every character. But like they find out that it's not Dr. Dredd.
Okay.
Because Mr. Terrific, Tom Strong, actually make it to like they go back to Terrifitech, where Mr. Terrific has his thing. And he hasn't been to his building in a while.
Right.
Because of all this stuff that's happened with him and the others where they can't move that far apart. And they see Dr. Dredd there, like the real live version of him.
Uh-huh.
And they start to fight him. Well, all of a sudden, there's like 100 of them come in.
So he's just hanging out in the lobby.
Yeah. He's just hanging there. So they start to fight him, and they start to be the just like to pummel the Dr. Dredd. And they realize that it's not him. It's a bunch of robots. You know, they're Dreadbots instead of Doombots, right?
Right.
So everyone, like, goes back and they all get together after they figure out that. And they think, oh, Dr. Dredd's, like, escaped us or whatever. But then we turn to Stag Mansion with Rex's girlfriend who finds this secret... this secret doorway in her yard, and she goes down it, and she's like, oh, I wonder what's going on. Well, she finds out that Jabba, the Cro-Magnon man bodyguard of her father, is in fact Dr. Dredd.
Okay.
Because he's like, what's his name? The caveman, the bad guy.
Vandal Savage?
Yeah, he's like Vandal Savage.
Okay.
Where he's like actually intelligent and
right.
knows what's going on. And that kind of explains how like they found out like why everything was so centralized around Stag Enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that's happened to them has been because of that. So that was kind of cool to find out that, like, he is Dr. Dredd, and we'll see what becomes of that.
So is he an existing character already in the DC Universe?
Yes.
Okay, so they didn't just create him.
No.
Because I'm not familiar with a lot of these characters from, like, the Metamorpho stories and stuff like that. So, yeah. Okay, cool. So you're enjoying that?
Yes.
Excellent. I want to talk about Spider-Geddon number 2. In a world where Spider-Men come from different realities to join forces to battle the Inheritors, evil, vampiric, sucking monsters who feed on spider-totem people. Well, it's people with Spider-Man powers. How do they come together and how will they defeat them? That's basically the setup of this.
Yeah.
So our main cast of characters in this is we have the Superior Octopus.
Yes.
Which is the new reborn, recloned, brand new body, Dr. Octopus from our world, who masqueraded for a time as Peter Parker and was the Superior Spider-Man. But
well, he was Peter.
Well, yeah, he was in Peter's head. Right.
Yeah, they switched.
Right. He was in Peter's body.
Yeah.
And so.
And Peter was running around in a little spider drone.
Right. And so he was the Superior Spider-Man because from his point of view, the ultimate level of conceit is that he can do Spider-Man better than Spider-Man can do Spider-Man. But when Peter came back and retook his own body, that forced Dr. Octopus into a new cloned body of himself. And now that he's young and healthy again, decided to be the Superior Octopus. So that's his case. This whole thing is kind of his fault, for those of you that didn't hear a review of the previous issue, because he was using the Inheritor's clone technology to keep cloned bodies of himself on standby should he ever need one. This allowed the Inheritors who were marooned on some distant parallel world to invade and come back in through that technology into new cloned bodies they created for themselves. But he will not admit any fault. It's not his fault because in his point of view, they should have killed the Inheritors instead of marooning them in the first place.
Yeah.
And so they keep going back over that point over and over and over again.
Yeah, they dumped them on a planet that was highly radiated to where they can't.
Right. And so the idea was that they didn't have anything to eat there. They were going to eventually just starve out, which is, to me, in many ways, a more cruel death than just killing them. But regardless. Also in this cast of characters, we've got Miles Morales, the new young African-American Spider-Man. We've got Spider-Punk, which is basically just a punk rock version of Spider-Man from another reality. We've got Spider-Gwen, which anybody that reads comic books is a little familiar with. For those of you that don't, why are you listening to this show?
Spider-Punk's actually the Prowler from his universe.
Right.
Hobie Brown.
Yeah. Spider-Gwen is Gwen Stacy from her universe, who just happened to get spider powers. And then you've got Spider-Woman, which is May Parker of that particular universe, which is the daughter of Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson.
Yeah, she was part of the Exiles team.
So in that world, Spider-Man is older. He's more like Uncle Ben's age, and he's got this daughter, and she picks up the mantle from her dad because she inherited his powers and takes up being Spider-Man, only she's a woman, so Spider-Woman. You've got Octavia Otto, which is a female version of Dr. Octopus from yet another universe. And then my favorite character is Spider-Ham. Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider-Ham. And so the whole issue plays pretty straightforward. They're in there. The Inheritors have reborn. They're trying to take them out. They don't do a very good job. You've got one guy trying to work the cloning technology to get the rest of his family back, while one of the women are fighting all of the spider totems, which is not a difficult job because all the spider totem characters are all fighting amongst themselves, laying blame and pointing fingers while this battle's going on, which makes it really difficult. And so at a certain point, I kept waiting for somebody else to die. I mean, at one point, she has Miles Morales by the throat, different things like that. You was like, oh, just any minute, somebody. Because when you've got this many spider characters from this many realities, it's easy to kill a few off. Yeah. Nobody misses them because they're not from our main Marvel universe. So big deal if they die, right?
They killed two in previous issue.
Right. And so at the end of the day, they kind of mount their final take, but they realize we can't fight this. We're not going to win. So somebody has to stay behind to keep them occupied while Superior Octopus, which is, you know, our Dr. Octopus, you know, in the new clone body, says, I've got to, you know, this place hardwired to self-destruct if ever need be, because I used to be a supervillain. It's what we do, right? And they said, well, we all got to get out of here and I can set the auto-destruct sequence. Of course, the auto-destruct sequence counts down for like 2 minutes. You can't just press a button and have it go boom. You got to give them all kinds of warning that the place is about to blow up. So in order to keep them in there and occupied, Spider-Gwen decides to stay behind and to fight and keep them, you know, busy while the rest of them escape, which she does. And during this fight, I was surprised to learn, because I didn't know it, because I don't follow all these characters, that Spider-Gwen's costume is actually a symbiote.
Yeah, she got part of Venom in her universe.
So I didn't know that. So her costume lashes out, and so the woman that's fighting goes, oh, this complicates things. This makes it harder for me to take her because of the symbiote.
Yeah,
because,
like, if, like, when you see her with Spider, like, when the Venom symbiote takes over,
mm-hmm.
it's like her hood becomes all jagged and stuff.
Right. And then so the tendrils are reaching out and wrapping around the inheritor's neck. I forget her name. And, like, choking her out. So the guy who's over there working the controls goes, I need just a few more seconds. And it's like 7, 6, 5. It's counting down. Well, the plan was that at the last second, Spider-Gwen was supposed to use her wristwatch that teleports them from universe to universe to teleport out of there. All she had to do was hold them to the last second and hit the watch. Well, when the inheritor figures that out, because they discuss it out loud in front of them, when the inheritor figures it out, she takes it from her and they use that technology to pour it out of there themselves. So at the end of the day, they think Spider-Gwen gets killed. And I say that specifically that way because she doesn't, but they thought she does. So now the group is all upset. They don't know what to do. How are they going to fight this? And so you've got part of the group that wants to do the right thing and fight it the way that Peter Parker always fought all his battles, by trying to just apprehend them and deal with them and bring them to justice. And then you've got Dr. Octavius, the Superior Octopus, who says, no, this is a, you know, this is a cosmic level threat kind of thing, and we need to put these guys down. If you let them live, everybody that dies from this point forward is on us. Which is the same Batman-Joker argument that everybody's been making for years, right? And so he says, well, they can't come to any kind of agreement on how they're going to do that. So they all decide to break up and say, you do it your way, and we'll do it our way. So you got one team that's going off to recruit other spider people to help them fight for, like, truth, justice in the American way by apprehending them and bringing them to justice. And then you got Octavius, who's going out to recruit people, including the new Spider-Man from the new Sony Spider-Man video game, recruiting people that he thinks will help them kill the inheritors. So you've got these sides splitting up, and at some point they're bound to get in each other's way. And at the very end of the issue, we get the reveal that Gwen Stacy's not dead, but she teleports to an Earth accidentally that she does not know where is. And she's lost, and she don't know how to get back home or get back to the other group. So this issue basically was a setup issue that branches out into all the Spider-Geddon tie-in books, because they want you to follow Gwen Stacy in her Ghost Spider number one.
Yeah, and if you read that, she transports to the universe. She realizes she doesn't have her watch, and she finds a Peter Parker there.
Right.
And in her universe, Peter's dead.
Right.
Because the lizard killed him.
Right. And so,
then Spider-Woman and Aranya, they wind up on the Spider-Man Renew Your Vows world.
Right.
And they recruit her, May Parker. No, her name's not May in that world. Oh, shoot. I can't remember what her name is, but they recruit her because, like, her spider sense is really hyped up in that world,
mm-hmm.
and they think that might help them with the inheritor battles.
So that was in Spider Girls number one,
yes.
which was also on sale at the same time that these two books out. In the coming weeks, we're getting Spider-Geddon 2, Spider Force number one, Vault of Spiders number one, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man 312, Vault of Spiders, number two, so forth and so on.
Which I'm not reading, the Peter Parker.
I'm not reading any of these tie-in books. I'm just going to stay on the main story. Hopefully there's enough there that I don't miss anything in any of the side books. But
that's what I'm saying. That's the I was given the main gist because the Spider, Ghost Spider one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm reading Spider Girls because it's, I was reading Spider-Man Renew Your Vows.
Oh, okay. So it ties in there. Yes. Okay. So this issue was kind of not a great issue because not a ton happens in it. And it was a setup for all the tie-ins, which I'm not going to buy.
But like, what's his name fought his sister in their universe.
Whose was his name?
The Inheritor. The one that's working for.
Yeah, I left that out because it was a long review. But they go back and he's the guy with like the spider body lower half.
Yes.
It's like clockwork, steampunk kind of looking things. And she goes back and she's going to fight him. She ends up killing him because at the end of the day, and becoming the guy that runs the Loom of Fate or whatever it is. It's not the Loom
of Worlds.
Yeah. When I hear Loom, all I can think of is Morgan Freeman. Shoot this mother effer.
Magical Loom of Fate.
So she kills him because at the end of the day, it's revealed that in order for him to run that loom of webs and worlds, that he has become a spider totem too. And so she's able to suck all the life out of him like she would any of the other rest of them. So that happened. So, it's a good story. This issue just sort of was a little weak because of all the setup it did. So that happens. All right, Charlie, you want to talk about Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, number 25?
Yes. I've been talking about like how good like the Star Wars books are recently. And I just found out that like in like three issues, Darth Vader's in it, which really sucks.
No, that's a great, great book.
And
I didn't come on to like issue 17, 18, 19, something like that.
Yeah.
So it makes me wish I had been reading it all along.
But like they're going to start a new miniseries. Then I think they're going to go with the new ongoing series, which I think is kind of stupid.
And different creative teams, so yeah. There's no guarantee that the new ones will be any good.
And they're doing a whole bunch of weird things because they're putting out a new book in January,
mm-hmm.
A Star Wars book in January, and they're starting it off with like six mini series, like one shot prequels.
Right.
One's like Queen Amidala number one, Count Dooku number one. So we're getting all these prequel characters who get in their own one shots in like November and December, and which I'm not even going to even try to start all that.
Speaking of Star Wars, the movie franchise is in disarray. Have you been seeing the reports like Boba Fett movie canceled?
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't really care for that. I don't think they know what they're doing. The past making the next major Star Wars movie, which is sad because I was so ready for the Obi-Wan movie. So ready for Ewan McGregor to come back as older Obi-Wan.
That's like there's a thing on Facebook. It's like a meme or something. It's like what every man dreams of, and it's Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. And that's what it says. It says Obi-Wan Kenobi the movie or whatever.
Right.
But this issue from last issue... Dr. Aphra and her girlfriend and the alien guy that's with them, they're being trapped. Vader was going to come on board their ship.
Mm-hmm.
And in this issue, Aphra's like, I can't let you leave here knowing what you know. And here's this thing that are like this mind thing that can either erase your mind, make you forget certain things or put certain things in your memory, right?
Right.
And she's like, well, why don't you just like just leave and I'll lie and I'll say that you left, right? And Dr. F is like, you don't understand. Vader will kill you.
Right.
Yeah. Even if like you have a fragment of a memory, he will kill you for no other reason that you know me. So... when Vader comes aboard, he starts asking the Imperial Lady about it, and she goes, "Well, I did what I had to. I uh, she dumped me and I killed her.
I killed her.
And Vader's like, well, I'll have to like inform a search party or whatever. And what, and like the, we'll have to do research on this or whatever. And, finds out that like, BT comes in, the killer, what do they call it? What is C-3PO? He's a
protocol droid.
Yeah, he's a protocol droid. Well, BT comes in. He's that killer protocol droid. It's kind of funny because in this one scene, he's got like Wolverine claws because he like stabs, like he like stabs one of the characters.
I thought he had like needles for fingertips. Isn't that what it is?
No.
Oh, okay. No, okay. Never mind.
Well, he has normal fingertips, but I think he's got like, but I mean, in this issue, he totally has full on out claw, Wolverine claws.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's no mistaking that.
But,
let's put Wolverines to shame, actually.
But, it's kind of funny because, like, BT's like, huh, the only way you could let her, the only way you knew Vader would let her go is that if she'd realize that, that you were gone out of her life. And while they were leaving, there's a thing where like she's talking to the two Imperial officers and she's using a language and they're like, well, what are you talking about? And she said, well, it translates into you came in too close. And like, what are you talking about? Well, all of a sudden, like these, there's this big, huge explosion, like, they warped in too close to something, and right. She actually dies. So Dr. Aphra's like new her love interest dies in this issue, and Vader like finds some sentient force, like plants.
Force plants.
Yeah, they like distract him, and like he goes off. Well, then it turns out like that alien guy that she's been with for like the last five or six issues,
right?
Who like has pretended to be Dr. Evazin, Evazon, that, you know, that guy's like, you'll be dead or whatever, you know, that guy,
right?
I
have the death sentence on 12 systems.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that like Dr. Evazin is like a medical, like surgical, like killer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's just like really smart and everything. Well, the thing is that the alien guy starts talking to her. He's like, well, you never really figured it out, did you? She's like, what are you talking about? He goes, this thing on my face. He goes, I'm not really a shapeshifter, but this thing on my face is. Well, it turns out that it's actually Dr. Evazin who's been pretending to be this guy for months, and they've been trying to outsmart him like for months, and she's always figured out that she has been. Well, she implants this thing in BT and her that if they get too far apart, that their bomb implants,
right?
So if they get too far apart, they'll both die.
Okay,
so now they have to work together, and the thing is, they've had this relationship for like about a year or so to where like they hate each other because at first they, BT and his protocol droid, the killer, R2-D2,
right,
was, with him. Like they were both working for Dr. Aphra, and then like the BT made a deal to where he actually became her boss. So they have this hate relationship going on, and now they actually have to like travel together, which is kind of interesting.
That is interesting. So I didn't know Vader was in this.
Yeah, Vader's in this. He kicks butt for like 4 or 5 years.
So excellent. All right. So I've been wanting to read that book, but I got a little behind on it. So I'm like, I got all of them. I'm gonna get caught up, but I'm not quite there yet.
Good books.
Excellent.
I'm not reading Poe or the regular Star Wars book, but those might be good too, but I'm just not reading them. Well, Poe wasn't good when I was reading it, so.
I never started on that one. I was reading the regular Star Wars book, but it just seems to be bogged down in stuff I kind of don't care about.
Well, I think...
a lot of intergalactic diplomatic stuff, things like that.
Well, they may be ending that book, too, because from what I understand, it's getting awfully close to Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're, someone was telling me, like, he hopes that, seeing as they introduced Dash Rendar earlier...
Right.
That they may do, like, a Shadows of the Empire series. But who knows?
That would be cool. I played that game. So...
Well, it'd be different now.
Yeah, obviously.
Continuity is different.
Yeah, nothing that was approved canon is approved canon anymore. So, all right. So that brings us to our next book, Return of Wolverine number 2. So in case anybody in the comic book world that pays attention to these kinds of things didn't know, Wolverine's coming back. It's been an event thing that's been going on at Marvel for like about 6 months or more. I mean, it's just all year long. And they've had.
He showed up in that Marvel Legacy, which came out like.
Was it April, something like that?
I think it was March or April, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just there.
Yeah.
And then for months, he was just appearing like in one page of like every other Marvel book at the end of the book.
Yeah, just little like, Easter egg clues and things.
Well, no, he would show up. He would be just like. Oh, I'm like he'd like you'd see him driving down the road in a truck or something. So he was just like one page and done, and like at the end of every book.
So
they weren't together,
right?
Like you couldn't like read this and go, oh, he's doing this, and then like read the next issue and be that. He was just randomly
appearing in places. Yeah. Well, see, I wasn't reading any of that, so I didn't know, but. I do know they've had a bunch of little miniseries leading up to this, like The Search for Wolverine.
Yeah, they've had Mystery Madripoor, Claws right. of the Killer, Adamantium Agenda.
Right. And so all this stuff, I'm like, but Wolverine's not really in any of that. And there's just people looking for Wolverine. So I was like, I'm not going to read that. I just want to read something that's got Wolverine in it, right? So when this hit last month, the first issue last month, this is the second issue, I was like, this might be kind of interesting. So just a brief, really, really brief recap. That might be a Freudian slip. Just a really, really brief recap of last month.
And I hate the art in this book. Like, it's not McNiven's best work.
Yeah. Well, last issue was better. This issue seems rushed. But anyway, that's just me. A brief recap of last issue. Wolverine wakes up. He's in his classic X-Men costume. No idea how he got there or why he's back from the dead. No idea, like, why that statue that they showed us in X-Men Legacy was all melted and he was out of there. Yeah. No idea how that happened. He just shows up, and he's, like, in the middle of this secret mountain supervillain base, like, from a James Bond movie. And, like, all heck is blowing loose. Like, all the computers are blowing up, and the place is on fire. And he's got to try and get out of there, right? There are other big species there. There's a big saber-toothed cat there. There's some other animals there. They are attacking him. He's got to fend them off, but he has no clue who he is. He doesn't remember anything, which is, oh my God, how many times has that happened to Wolverine, right? And so just instinctually, he pops his claws because, you know, he's in threatened, right? And it just happens. And when he pops his claws, they're like red hot. So this is the new Wolverine power that he's been given, these red hot razor claws that are like hot as the sun, like searing. I mean, they slice through doors and stuff like that. I mean, not that... the razor sharp adamantium wasn't already sharp enough and could cut through it just almost anything except like Captain America's shield or something. But now.
Well, yeah, because that was made of vibranium.
Right. Different material. The only thing you need harder than adamantium.
Vibranium has like magnetic properties or something. So it's just like, just a really weird metal.
Right.
That just affects every other metal.
Right. So basically. He could cut through just about anything anyway because of the strength of the adamantium and the sharpness of the claws. Now you add to that the fact that they get hot kind of like Jedi swords. And he literally can cut through just about anything now. Don't know where that came from or why that's a thing. And he fights his way out of that, and he finally makes his way to a clearing, and there's like a camp there with like buildings and gun and sniper towers around it, and it's like a military installation. And these people are all running out from this hideout that he was in, and they start shooting at him, and they start killing him. And he was like, oh, heck no, I ain't allowing that. Well, and then while that's going on, you have scenes going on in his mind. And in his mind, you see Wolverine standing there with the keys to all these, like, holding cells. And different versions of himself in all the cells. All right, so there's a version of himself that's like, that's the X-Man and the Avenger, and he's a hero. And then there's a version of himself that's Weapon X, the wild, you know, crazy man that doesn't remember anything. And then there's a version of himself that's like the Berserker Wolverine, and he's all kind of big and Hulk-like looking and wants to kill things. And then there was like several different versions of himself, right? And so he's handed these keys by some woman in his mind, and she goes, you can let out whichever one you want to, which basically means that Wolverine can choose what he wants to be in any given scenario. I don't know why they're giving us this picture of what's going on in his head mentally, but that's what it's supposed to represent, is the idea of which aspect of his personality will manifest itself first. And so he finds this woman, and he's trying to save her, and she starts reminding him who he is. So, you're Wolverine. You're a hero. You're a member of the Avengers. I've seen you. You have to help us. And in doing so, he decides to let out the hero Wolverine first. And so he decides he's going to be a hero and try to help her. Well, that brings us to this issue, because apparently they've got her son. And so he's tracking them in a boat, and they're already in a boat, and they're out at sea. This has shifted scenes wildly, because we're in some grassland area now. Now we're out on the ocean. And he's going after this boat. She says, can we catch him? He goes, yes, our boat is faster, but theirs has got quite a head start. It'll be a few minutes, but we'll catch up. Well, they deploy a couple henchmen. One of them looks like Omega Red because he's got the Omega symbol on his forehead, and he's got the little tendrils coming out of his hands.
Yeah.
And then one of them, you don't know, because he's completely clad in like Black Ops outfit. You don't know. You can't see his face. He's got a mask on. They jump into the water, and as Wolverine's boat passes over them, they reach up, grab a hold, and climb on. So now Wolverine has to fight him, right? All right. So he dispatches them pretty quickly, but the one is that the Omega, it's got the Omega Red powers. He's got his tendrils, and he's reaching for him. The other one pops claws, two claws, kind of like other clone versions of Wolverine that we're familiar with, or.
Well, Dokken has the bone claws, and X-23 has the metal claws. Early.
Right, so we don't know who this might be or what's going on. As they're fighting, he dispenses with the Omega
Red. Dokken has three claws.
Right, but he dispenses with the Omega Red character pretty quick, but he fights with the other one, and the guy, he's holding up his two claws. Wolverine holds up his three claws, goes, look like you're a claw short. And about that time, the third one comes out from the wrist, which is where Dokken's third claw is. So that makes you think, is that him? You know, we don't know, because I didn't think that Dokken had the metal claws, because these are metal. And as they're fighting, he rips the cover off of this other guy's arm to see his arm, and his arm has got a tattoo on it. All right, you can see the tattoo here, and it's similar to Dakin's tattoo.
Yeah.
So it appears that that's actually who that is. And so while he's having flashbacks of his son, he's losing the battle of the fight, and it's about that time that the claws start to heat up. And so he jerks the fuel line from the boat loose and sprays it across his heated claw, and it catches fire, and he catches the other guy on fire, and then kicks him in the ocean.
That's not really how that works.
Yeah, I don't know that spraying gas across hot things catches him on fire. My understanding is there has to be a spark or an explosion sometime. You know, all right, whatever.
And it's the fumes from the gas, not the gas itself.
Well, it's all really explosive, but generally the fumes catch first because it's the first thing to catch any, you know, part of the electricity or the spark or whatever. So at that point, he's almost about to go into his berserker rage, and he's just about looks like he wants to kill that woman when he pulls it back, and the berserker Wolverine that's in his mental cage goes, not yet, but soon, bub, soon. So he's anxious to get out. And so at that point, they go, well, we're still after these guys, but they've got a head start on us now, and we've cut one of our engines because I had to cut the fuel line. And so now we're not going to be able to catch up with them, but I'm smelling them. I'll be able to follow them. She, like, gets all passionate and decides to kiss him for no reason because, you know, what hero doesn't get kissed by the lady, right? And they show up, and so they start heading to this town where the bad guys went, and the scene shifts, and it's Cerebro. Jean Grey is using Cerebro, and she looks at Kitty Pryde, just, Kitty, I think I just found Logan. And so next issue, the X-Men will show up to claim their old friend.
So is this happening in his actual body or in his mind?
What, the cages and stuff?
Yeah.
No, it's all just mental. They're like mental cages, same way that the professor had set up mental cages in Jean's mind to cage the Phoenix, the
Incredible Hulk with like his personality.
Right, right. But the thing about it was is that these were never separate personalities in Wolverine's case. These were just different aspects of him. You know, on just like me. Now, some days I'm angry, and some days I'm mellow, and some days I'm happy. Baldy
George. I like that George.
So, you know.
You're killing Baldy George.
So just because I'm in a different mood one day than I am the other day doesn't mean I have different personalities and I keep one in a cage and the other one not in a cage.
So they're making a Moon Knight.
Yeah, kind of. So I'm happy to see Wolverine, but I'd like to see Wolverine return to full-fledged Wolverine the way I like him.
Wolverine's the only Avenger you need when he's like 12 Wolverines.
Yeah, so he's a one-man army because he's a bag of cats. So that's that. All right, Charlie.
I figured it out. Like, how many Wolverine characters do we need? We literally have like 10 Wolverine characters running around.
Well, that are directly related to Wolverine or just Wolverine-like?
Wolverine-like with, well, like have the claws.
Okay.
Or animal-like.
Like all right. That. Well, does that mean, are you counting like Tomahawk and the people like that?
I don't know.
What's the Indian's name from X-Men? What's that guy's name? He's got the big knife.
No, I'm not.
He was on X-Force for
a while. I know who he is.
But you don't remember his name. But anyway, he's feral, kind of like Wolverine. He's got that same animal rage thing going on, but he's got heightened senses. But he doesn't have claws. He carries that big knife.
Oh, I know about that.
Yeah.
But I was talking about like...
All right, so more Wolverine.
X-23.
All right, so we got X-23.
Dokken.
You got...
Honey Badger.
Who's that?
It's X-23's sister.
Oh, I don't know nothing about her. Okay, so that's new. I mean,
you've not heard of Honey Badger.
Well, on the internet, that Honey Badger just don't care, right? I've heard of that, but not the comic book character. No.
Yeah, there's a Sabretooth.
A Saber. Okay, yeah.
Wild Child.
I don't know her.
Him.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about Dark Child, which was a character from the
90s. During the Age of Apocalypse, remember?
You still got Old Man Logan running around.
Yeah, Old Man Logan's there. You have Weapon X.
Is that a different character?
Weapon H.
Oh.
He's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Wolverine character.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
So you got him.
Yeah, it's clear that Marvel is taking an idea and running with it. All right.
But I was just like, how many Wolverines do we need? Because I hear, like, apparently, like, Old Man Logan.
That's supposed to be Indian.
Yeah, I think they'll probably kill him off or he'll go to a team or something like that.
Well, and I made a post about that a while back on Twitter or something. I said, how weird is it when you take a really popular character and you're killing him off because you're returning a younger version of him back to continuity? So it allows you to let him go out in a blaze of glory that you normally would never do to your character because you want to retain him for future use. But since we're not going to need him anymore, let's do the death of Old Man Logan.
Well, did I tell you about Extermination?
No.
Extermination is the event where, like, the X-Men characters...
I know there's something going on called that, but I don't...
...are trying to get the new X-Men, who are the classic X-Men.
The old original X-Men, yeah.
To go back into the past, right?
Yeah, go back where you belong.
Yeah. So they start this miniseries called Extermination. And like in the first issue, like there's this character who comes in and he kills the vampiric Storm, who's called Bloodstorm,
mm-hmm.
and kidnaps Bobby Drake or kills him. Everyone thinks he's dead, but he's actually been kidnapped.
Right.
And he kills Cable.
Okay.
In the first issue. So who's it turn out to be? At the end of the first issue?
Oh, no.
It's Young Cable.
Young Cable killed Old Cable.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that's what you're just saying. It's like, but they killed Cable.
Yeah.
So Young Cable's running around.
Yeah. And then he can just be Cable for now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But it's. I was seriously like, really? This is what we're doing now? We kill Cable. and bring in young Cable.
Right. Well, and then there's a whole thing that comic book companies like to do with replacing, and a lot of times it doesn't work, right? When you take an established character and you replace them with a younger, hipper, cooler version of that character, and I was posting about this the other day, Lobo. They were trying their hardest to take Lobo, which is this metalhead that runs around the cosmos, bounty hunter. You know, he's like Dog the Bounty Hunter if Dog the Bounty Hunter was an alien, right? Yep. And he's hardcore, he's heavy metal, he wears chains, he rides a motorcycle across the spaceways.
Smokes cigars.
He's a man's man, right? Yeah. And he's like everything that the PC culture doesn't like. And that's, you know, he's a womanizer, he's abusive, he's all these horrible things. And so it's like, why don't we take him and retool him and turn him into a teenager? So when the new 52 story started, suddenly Lobo is a young teenage alien boy. What? All right, so everybody who...
No, there was the real Lobo. And that Lobo we'd known for years was...
Oh, yeah, fake Lobo.
Fake Lobo, yeah.
Right. So...
Because the real Lobo was skinny.
Right.
Didn't have a beard or a mustache. I think he had a goatee.
He seriously looked like he was, you know, 17 years old or something like that.
But yeah, but that was the real Lobo.
Right. And so that didn't work out.
I think that lasted a whole, like... 5-6 issues.
Something.
Or Lobo killed him.
Yeah. So that went away and we got regular Lobo back. Yay. Thank goodness. And then I'm reading like Titans or something, or Teen Titans or whichever one it is. And Titans. And there's a teenage.
It's his daughter.
Female Lobo running around.
It's his daughter.
And I'm like, why do you got to take a concept like Lobo and gender bend it and turn it into a teeny bopper thing?
No, but it's his daughter, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, he never had a daughter before, so where'd she come from?
Now, I don't have...
And the fact is that he's the last Zarnian.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Well, that doesn't really work out for Superman. It's supposed to be the last Kryptonian either. He's got a whole family.
But what I'm saying is, it's like, he killed every single Zarnian ever.
Right. Well, I guess he had her after that. I don't know. You know, got with some space whore or something, and I don't know. But... The point is, there are some characters that lend themselves to legacy, right? So you got the Flash family, you've got multiple Green Lanterns, these kinds of things where it's easy to hand the mantle down from one version to the next. Lobo doesn't work well that way. And Wolverine also doesn't work well that way. You can have Wolverine knockoffs, but there's only one Wolverine and can only ever be one Wolverine. So it's just a mistake to try to retool these characters this way. It's just... wrong. So, all right, Charlie, so that brings us to your last book of the week, which is Books of Magic number one.
Yes, Books of Magic number one. I never read the original Books of Magic, and it was a series that I guess started in like 1993 or 94.
Right.
And it starred this kid, Tim Hunter, and he was learning magic. And he was trying to learn magic because he was going to be the be-all, end-all
right
magic guy.
He's, the words they used in this issue was destined to be the world's greatest magician.
Well, in this issue, he...
Which I'm thinking, if you're going up against, like, Dr. Fate and some other, like, more powerful than those guys, you know, I don't know. Or does that just mean, like, the most powerful...
magician that ever
did. Magician. I don't know exactly what it means. You know, is he, like, an avatar of the Lords of Chaos and Order and all that stuff? Or is he just, like, this... just a regular dude with magic, but he's the best one. You know, I don't know. But anyway, go ahead.
Maybe. But he, in this issue, he tries to, like, learn how to do magic, and he doesn't know anything. He, like, he tries to impress this girl. He's like, look, I'm really great at magic. And she's like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. So he does this trick, and, like, he screws it up, and, like, nothing happens.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, he's feeling real bad about it because the kids start making fun of him. And his teacher, like, asks him to stay after class. And she goes, look, I know what's going on here, Tim. I know that you're going to be, like, the world's greatest magician. But you actually need to learn how to do magic first. And he's like... what are you talking about? I don't need to, like, learn how to do magic. I'm destined to be the best magician ever. And she's like, no, look, you got to learn first. you know, you got to put the training wheels on the bike before you can ride.
Right.
So she gives him one of the books of magic, and she says that, like, this will help you learn magic, and it'll help teach you. So he's all bummed about it. He goes,
yeah, he looks at the book and the pages are blank.
Yeah, they're all blank.
He said, "Well, a lot of good this is."
He's like, "I can't even read this stupid thing." But he feels all bummed about it. He goes home and he's like remembering his mom, because I think she was like one of the best parts of his life, and I think she died.
He comes home and his dad's sitting there watching TV. He looks like he's about half asleep. As I got in a fight today, Dad's like, "Did you win?" And he goes, "Because the only reason to fight is to win. Remember that." Yeah, sure, Dad. Right. No problem.
Yeah. Well, he goes home and he like tries to.
So his dad's not a very good parent.
Yeah. He goes through his room and he tries to open. He's like, "Come on, book. I need you to open up." And it says something like to the effect that like magic is neither good nor bad. Only its use determines its character. There are always consequences for its use. Then we have like three guys standing around a trash can, and like they say,
yeah, they're like druids or something in hooded outfits.
Yeah, they look really out of place.
Yeah, in an alley around a trash can
with fire glowing out of it. And they said, "Well, the first book has been opened, but steps must be taken because some books should never be opened," and that's how it ends. It was interesting.
Yeah, I read it. I thought it was intriguing. I'll probably try to stay on.
And, like, the four characters that, like, introduced the magic to him.
Yeah, this is the thing we kind of messed up when we were talking about it previously.
Yeah. Is that it's Constantine, Phantom Stranger.
Yeah.
Dr. Cult is the other guy that's like the opposite of Phantom Stranger.
Right.
And a guy named Mr. E, who is like the fourth guy, the guy in the white suit and
yeah,
the red and white hair. It was because I never knew like how he like was destined told about this magic.
Yeah.
But from what
They're
retelling like the story, because during the original Books of Magic, I don't know how he was told about it at first, but apparently these characters helped him in each one of the like the four main storylines of the book.
Well, what I was getting at was, it seems to me like they're depending on you having some familiarity with the character, but at the same time, they're starting over and retelling it.
Yeah.
So they're not giving you every little detail. They're assuming that there are some things you already know.
Well, it's kind of like the, like a reboot of a movie.
Right.
Know? It's like.
So like when The Amazing Spider-Man came out, they didn't go back and redo the whole Ben death thing.
Yeah. They assumed you already knew it.
Right.
But yeah, this is kind of what they're doing. But like, I don't know. Like. With Mr. E and Dr. Cult, I don't think those characters have been in this continuity.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
So their previous continuity. So it's kind of weird.
DC's in a weird place where everything that ever happened happened, but everything's happening new again for the first time. It's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting.
All right.
Like I said, I'm kind of interested because I never read the previous ones.
Yeah. But. So of the, I wanted to read Lucifer, but I got stuck a week or two ago when it came out and I didn't get to read it. So I intend to read it. But
that one seemed weird because I think they made Lucifer like a homeless dude living on the street. And like, I think he thinks he has powers or whatever.
So is he Lucifer or is he a crazy homeless dude?
But I think that's how it went. I only like read like the first two or three pages of that book, but like the art in it is not great. And like I said, with that, I was just like, I don't know about that.
So as of right now, I think I'm going to try to read Sandman, or is that called The Dreaming or what?
The Dreaming.
Yeah. I'm going to try to read The Dreaming, and I'm going to try to read this, and I'm going to try to read Lucifer. I'm not on House of Secrets or whatever that is. House of Whispers, yeah. And if Lucifer's not any good, then I'll drop it. So
I'll stick with just Books of Magic. And then.
So we'll see. All right. That brings us to the last books of the night, because I feel like we've run a little bit long tonight. So let's wrap it up. Dynamite decided last week that they were going to bring out all their Halloween specials. So there was like four or five of them.
Yeah, there was Army of Darkness.
There was a Betty Page special. There was an Elvira special. And I picked up two different ones because, you know me, I'm all about the cheesecake. So I picked up the most naked covered ladies specials that I could. So there was a Red Zone.
Well, that's not true because Deja Thoris in Vampirella is the most naked covers you can see.
Well, yeah, but they weren't Halloween specials. So I'm reading those too, by the way. Anyway, so.
But it's weird that that last Vampirella Deja Thoris, I think they used the same model for the
cosplay covers?
For both of them.
Yeah, she did
both. And like her nose is like wide.
Yeah. But she, you know, pulls it off everywhere else. Anyway, so the two holiday special ones that I looked at were the Red Sonja and the Vampirella ones. The Red Sonja was classic Red Sonja. It was really good. So in the Red Sonja universe, it's whatever their equivalent is of Halloween. You know, they live in Hyperia or whatever the name of that kingdom is that she lives in the distant past. And during this time, they sort of have a festival of spirits similar to Halloween, but they don't call it that. So they had to come up with some other name of it. It's called the Festival of Valehi or something like that. It's a weird pronunciation. And so she decides that she doesn't really want to fool with all that. She just wants to go to a tavern, have some drinks, play some arm wrestling, you know, and throw some darts and that kind of thing.
Play some arm wrestling?
Well, do some arm wrestling, I guess. And so that's her plan, just to stay in for the evening, because she doesn't want to be out in the woods fighting monsters and demons tonight. She just doesn't want anything to do with that. So she goes to this tavern, and she's in there, and she's got this muscly, like, hero-looking dude, and they're arm wrestling while she's drinking ale, and she bests him. And, like, you know, I know Red Sonja's supposed to be really bad, but this dude is, like, three times her size. There's no way that she beats him in arm wrestling. But, all right, whatever. She's Red Sonja. That's fine. She's the hero, and she gets to win.
Yeah, it's her book.
Yeah. And so while there, and by the way, the artwork in this is really kind of skimpy. I mean, they draw her, like, poking out of every crevice of her costume. It's you know, if you're into that kind of thing, this was pleasing. The quality of the artwork I've seen better as far as the structure of the lines and stuff. It was a little sketchy, but what they were portraying was very scandalous. But anyway, neither here nor there. There's an old woman that comes into the tavern, and she goes, somebody help me, please. If you don't help me, then my son's soul will be taken tonight. And she goes, what's she going on about? And the muscular dude that she's been talking to, the hero, it looks like He-Man or something. He goes, she's been in here for the last three or four nights coming up to the festival. She keeps going on about her son, but nobody wants to fool with her. And the old woman looks at Red Sonja and she goes, are you a hero, miss? Because if you are, I could really use your help. And she wins Red Sonja's affection. And Red Sonja decides she's going to help her. And so the muscular dude, he was like, well, you can't go alone. I'll accompany you. You know this dude's getting killed, okay? Because he's too eager, and he's trying to show up Red Sonja so that he could maybe win an evening in the sack with her, right? And so they both go out into the woods to hunt down this monster that apparently has got her son. And the monster, if somebody doesn't defeat the monster tonight, then it's going to devour her son, and he'll be lost forever. So they go into the woods to find this thing, and while she's there, a bunch of ghosts appear, but they're just harmless specters. They can't really do anything to them. But also while they're there, Kulan Goth shows up. Now, Kulan Goth is the wizard from the Red Sonja books that is like her arch nemesis. It is the equivalent of the James Earl Jones character from the Conan movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in, right? It's this wizard character. He's got a bunch of followers. He's really powerful. And he is her version of that in the Red Sonja universe. Apparently, recently she killed him because his ghost comes back from hell. And he's like, soon you'll be with me, Red Sonja, in the pit. Soon I will visit tortures upon you. Ha, 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 ha. And he keeps, like, egging her on and talking to her. But she can't do anything to him because he's just a specter. So every time she swings her sword at him, he just goes through him. He's not really there, but he's aggravating her. Anyway, while they're continuing to walk along, she turns her back on the muscular dude, and she hears a sound. And when she turns back around, his head, thump, 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 comes rolling on the ground. He's already dead. And when she turns to look at what done it, it's a giant, like, werewolf creature. Okay. Well, I found it really odd that the werewolf creature in question here would hold that woman's son. Like, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just eat him? So I was like, why would he hold them? That doesn't make any sense. But maybe it's a Red Sonja thing. I won't worry about it. They do battle, and it is ferocious battle, too. I mean, it's a really good action sequence for a comic book. I really liked it. And at the end of it, Sonja gets the better of him, and she kills him. Cuts his head off, and Kulan Goth is like, ah, you bested him. I'll not see you in hell tonight, but I will soon, mark my words. And he disappears. About that time, the old lady disappears, and she goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. I've searched everywhere. I killed the beast, but I found not your son. And she goes, oh, you've already freed him. And she goes, what do you mean? She goes, he was the monster. And by killing him, you freed his soul. If he had been a werewolf through this night, he would have been forever locked and his soul would have been lost. But you freed him from the curse. And then she, as she's standing there talking to Sonja, evaporates. Apparently she was just a spirit and she came back to try and save her son. So that was a pretty good story. Then we get like a backup thing, which is done in almost like an anime style Red Sonja story. That's almost like a Bruce Timm kind of animation style.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. It's basically just her and this little girl. And these guys are trying to take her and perform some kind of sacrifice on her. And Red Sonja like comes in and saves her. And then at the end of it, she tells the little girl, "So don't ever let anybody pin you into a corner and get you a sword and be your own hero." So it was like encouraging for little girls in that way. So that was pretty cool. I really, really liked that book. Compare that to the Vampirella book, which wasn't any good. The Vampirella book was horrible because the Vampirella book actually takes place in current Vampirella continuity. And she's got this stupid like ninja assassin outfit on. Now, part of the reason to read Vampirella is to watch her run around in that skimpy bathing suit thing she wears. All right. Now, I had read articles recently that they had updated Vampirella's costume to be a little more discreet in this modern Me Too, more sensible world we live in, which ticks me off to no degree. Not that I don't, you know, adhere to cultural and political sensitivities about certain topics, but cheesecake for the sake of cheesecake is part of the reason that Vampirella exists. And when you take that away from her, she really doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, the story's just not that compelling. Okay. So by itself, it'd be like putting Batman in like a just military fatigues outfit and then, but with all the same gear. He loses something without the costume, right? Batman's got to be in the costume. Same thing's true with Vampirella in different ways, but for a lot of the same reasons. Because the character's so identifiable, so recognizable. And my phone's trying to ring, which sucks. And so because of that, if you don't want to, for me, there's no reason to read it if she's not there. But I read through it anyway. And so basically it's Halloween, and apparently the dead are actually rising from the grave and coming into this small child's town. That it's trick-or-treating, and so Vampirella's taking it upon herself to protect the kids of this town, and so the undead are actually, and vampires and things are actually preying on the people of the town, and she's popping in like Wolverine and killing them and taking them out. There's these two guys that are dressed like Ghostbusters that run into this haunted house, and so they're in there when all the, like a Cthulhu-type monster comes in with tentacles and tries to attack them, but Vampirella, like, somebody pitches her a sword, and she ends up cutting all the tentacles off of it. And at the end of the day, she wins. And she drives all the creatures of hell back, and at the stroke of midnight, they all evaporate. So the idea was that if they could have taken over this town, they could have created, like, a little circle of hell on Earth and where they could have had reign and dominion. But because they didn't get it accomplished by the stroke of midnight, they all had to go back to hell. It really was kind of a one-dimensional story and really didn't work out very much. I liked the backup story a lot, though. And the backup story was also done in a Bruce Timm-style animation. And in that Bruce Timm-style animation, she's basically handing out candy to trick-or-treaters, but she's got a very modest red dress on. And the kids are all showing up, and they're going, who are you? And she goes, you know who I am. I'm Vampirella. And he goes, that's lame, and your new outfit's lame, and we don't want to trick-or-treat from you. And so they leave. It's a meta-commentary on the outfit controversy.
The new outfit.
Right. And so as she goes to sit down and she's eating the candy that the kids didn't want, she hears a noise outside. She goes outside, and they've TP'd her house. And she goes, oh, I'll get them. They want original costume. So she goes in the house, and she puts the old original costume on. And she's like, I'm going to get them. I'm going to freak them out, and I'm going to scare them. And she goes to track them down. But when she finds them, there's some kind of killer clown that has got them tied up in a house that they went trick-or-treating at. So she comes in at the last second, and she kills this thing. And she's sitting out on the front lawn drinking lemonade with blood all over. And everybody was like, and she's making the kids take the teepee off of her house. And so it illustrates how so many fans are aggravated with the new character, with the new costume choice for Vampirella. And to me, it illustrated why she's so much better in the classic costume than she is in the new one. But I don't know that Dynamite's got any kind of plans to reverse their decision on that at any point. But, you know, the main Halloween story from the first part of the book with her in the new costume was really horrible. The one at the end that made fun of the new costume was actually kind of fun. So that's your Dynamite Halloween tie-in for the week. That's it. That's been a long episode. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
No.
All right. So let's get out of here. Let's come back and close the show out, and we'll be back in just a moment. Alden and Rowdy, the comic book podcast. Sit tight.
That is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side.
Thank you for listening so much this week to Alden and Rowdy, the comic book podcast. We want to remind you about a few things just quickly before we go. We want you to head over to our website, No, that's not right. I got to scratch this out on this page I look at because it always makes me say the wrong thing. So it is, the website is arnetcast.podomatic.com. Go over there to listen to this episode or any other episode previously released up to a point after they get so old they eventually fall off. But, you know, for the last 8 months or however long, the episodes are all there for you to listen to. You can check out our show and then all the previous episodes in the feed that you want to listen to. There's hours of enjoyment there for you. Send us an email, aldenandrowdypodcast@gmail.com, and we will read and respond to any messages you send to us on the air. We would love to interact with you that way. Don't forget the Patreon site. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, but we'll remind you again. There is a button, there's a Patreon button on the website. So if you want to go to arnetcast.podomatic.com, our homepage, click the Patreon button. It'll take you to the Patreon page, or you can go directly there by going to patreon.com/Alden and Rowdy and become a Patreon member of Alden and Rowdy, which means that you can subscribe and become a supporting member of Alden and Rowdy for $3 a month, for $10 a month, for $20 a month, and be a part of what we do here. And we will express our thanks to you in whatever way we possibly can. And so we want to do a lot of really cool things and provide content for you guys that are special just for you. Being a Patreon member is the only way you can get access to that. So we've got some ideas about some stuff we want to do for Patreon members that keep your ear to the ground. We'll be announcing stuff in the coming days about that. If you would, go to iTunes and write a review for us. Go over to the podcasting section and search for comic books. You should be able to find us there. Once you find the Alden and Rowdy listing in the iTunes podcast section, give us a 5-star rating, please, and say really nice things about us, about this show is the best comic book show ever. These guys are awesome. They're so much fun to listen to. Doing that helps us. It helps raise our profile and our awareness. It brings more people to the show. That's ultimately good for us and gives us more, more Patreon members, maybe. That's good for us. That's good for you. So it helps us keep doing what we're doing here and providing content to you. Catch us on social networking, twitter.com/AR_podcast for the show, twitter.com/JohnLoveless for me, and xOnslaught for Charlie. You can also catch us on the Facebook, me and Charlie individually, or the show has a page on Facebook. Just search for us, John Loveless, Charlie Huffman, or Alternate Reality. You should be able to find us there. And Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. Comics with an S, podcast with an S, .com is the website. Go over to comicspodcast.com and check out the network to listen to our show and a bunch of other different shows that are all part of the network over there. That's a really cool thing to do. That's 401 in the books. Charlie, anything to add to that?
In the bag.
In the bag, in the books, in the can.
It's not my bag, baby.
However you want to say it. We're done with 401. The technical difficulties aside, we did. If you're listening to this after the fact, you'll have no idea. But in the middle of the show, the computer just froze up, and we had to stop and reset the computer and then had to pick up where we left off and continue talking. So that wasted about half an hour of our time. So technical difficulties notwithstanding, we do have this one finished for you tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, and in the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good night.
It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on with a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
Mash fool!
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.